Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Hope you filled your coffee cup because we're going to fill your ears. Speaking of preaching, you know, how does one preach and how does one hear of this new creation that we've been talking about, this transformed life? Brent, you mentioned earlier how easy it is for the Christian to be led into despair. And that's exactly what our enemy desires. The devil, the world, our own sinful flesh, tries to lead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice, to use the catechism language.
Yep.
So here, you know, I hear about this, I'm a new creation in Christ, and yet I go out as a husband and I struggle, and guilt soon comes knocking on the door, and I go to church, and what do I hear? If I hear this transformed Christian language that we were talking about earlier, then I'm convinced I'm not transformed. I'm not a new creation.
Well, that's
I might pretend, but I know my sin is always before me. And then I begin to struggle with that.
Well, that's Paul's point, Romans 7, when he looks at his members, he says. In other words, when he looks at himself, he despairs. So the Christian then is pointed to something outside of himself.
So to look at his members, to look at himself, is part of that intranos, looking inwardly or looking at self.
Yeah, and if you're honest, you'll say, well, I don't live up to the standard. And many people are honest with themselves, and they say this Christianity stuff is a lie because I'm not transformed like they say I'm supposed to, or like the guy who got up front and said, nah, my life is totally in order.
Or yeah, right. And isn't that what we do? We tend to look around, and we know that our life, our family, is just in shambles. It's chaos. And we look around, and it looks like everybody else has got it together.
Little do they know.
Right. That everybody's in shambles. But we put on that facade at times as well. And once again, the devil will use that then against you.
Right, accuse you.
Yeah. Look, there's a transformed Christian. He's living up to the standard. What's wrong with you?
Right. Well, this is why the Lord sends preachers, to preach both law and gospel and to properly distinguish between the two, as Paul did and wants us to in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So it depends on the situation. Does the old Adam need to be put to death? Well, the letter that kills. Is the Christian needing the word of forgiveness of sins? Then you preach the Spirit, which is the gospel, the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. And so Paul addresses something very important here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He talks about God giving us the ministry of reconciliation. And what is that? Well, it's that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. And based on that fact, then pastors can say, you're forgiven for Christ's sake. Don't despair. Trust a promise of God for Christ's sake.
Notice, folks, I don't know if you heard that. What was the distinction? Not counting their trespasses against them. That's different than saying there's no trespasses to be forgiven.
Or God forgives you because you've got your act together, or your life has been transformed.
But if your life is transformed and you have your act together,
you don't need Jesus
then
anymore.
You don't need God to forgive you.
That's right.
So part of this the preaching task, if you will, this ministry of reconciliation is preaching Christ as the one for whose sake God does not count your sin against you.
And that's Psalm 32, by the way. Paul doesn't quote it, but that's what the Old Testament teaches. Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the one in whom the Lord does not count sins against. Now, that my English was bad there, pardon me. But in other words, he doesn't count your sins against you. Why? Because he counted them against Christ. He took all your bad, and he gives you all his good. That's the way the kids talk. But that's the truth.
I'm so far out of it.
Now, we spoke earlier about something that is done externally or outside of us, and that's Good Friday. The death of Christ on the cross, the God-man, who sheds his divine blood to atone for the sin of the world. That was done outside of you. That was done outside of me. And that's certain and sure. Jesus says it's finished, and it is. Salvation has been accomplished. And now the Lord Jesus sees to it that salvation that he won gets delivered to sinners, not just once, but daily. And this is called the ministry of reconciliation, or the message of reconciliation, verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
Well, read verse 20, because this is really delicious.
Therefore, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And I'm just going to verse 21 too. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Now here we go again. I can just see us now spending at least another episode or two just talking about these two verses. And so be it, because it's table talk and we're free.
I'm not on a deadline.
Well, I don't have a producer sitting here saying you can't do that, so I'm going to do it.
Doing the spinning wheel. Come on, move it along.
Well, look at verse 20 again, everybody.
By the way, Adam is now rolling his eyes.
Yeah, probably. He's probably going to send us an email or a letter or a text.
Closest thing we have to a producer.
We. And there's the you.
Now, you made reference to this, who knows, eons ago in one of our programs, and how Paul uses these pronouns in this letter.
Yep. We is the apostolic ministry. You are the hearers. The church. Remember, the church is made up of a mouth and ears.
And they go together.
They always go together. You can't separate two. So when Paul says we, he's talking about the apostolic ministry, namely the men that Christ has put into the office of the ministry. And he says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, that is so wonderful. Ambassador means you've been sent by the Lord, and you speak not about him, but you speak for him. He sends you to speak his words. And so when you speak his words as his ambassador, as his sent one,
mm-hmm.
you hear the one who sent you. That's Jesus. So I hope everybody's connecting the dots here. When the preacher faithfully preaches what Christ has sent the preacher to preach as an ambassador, you're hearing Christ. Luke 10:16 comes to mind.
He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me.
Now, there's something different. I use the analogy. You know, you think about, I'm going to use an analogy. So let's pretend that Scott Porath is the United States ambassador to Great Britain. And he's appointed to that position by President-elect Trump. All right, so President-elect Trump tells Pastor Porath, now look, I want you to say such and such to the Queen and to the Prime Minister. And so you say, all right, and you deliver the President's words to the Queen and the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And they receive those words from who? From the President himself.
Yeah, they don't sit there and think, well, this is just what Scott Porath thinks. This isn't just what Scott's talking about. They make that connection. They know whose words these are. And in the same vein then, when the ambassador is sent, he doesn't start making things up, does he?
Better not, or he'll be recalled.
If he starts putting words in the mouth of the one who sent him, especially words that contradict with right. the one who sent him.
Oh yeah.
He will not be long for the position.
That's right. So, the apostolic ministers, and that includes you and me, we are in the apostolic ministry. We have been sent by the Lord to be his ambassadors, to speak not about Christ. Now, I'm very particular about the language here. When we preach, we're not preaching about Jesus. In other words, we're not giving some kind of lecture that you would go to receive at a high school class or a college class, where you're just there to give information about Jesus, that he was, you know, born of Mary, and Joseph was his stepfather, and he lived 33 years, and he died on a cross, and, you know, he seemed to have done a lot of miracles. That's speaking about Jesus.
Right.
Instead, the ambassador speaks for him. So you speak categorically and authoritatively. Thus saith the Lord. Here's an example of how a pastor does it in his preaching or teaching or his care. The Lord Jesus sent me to tell you. Now, people are taken aback by that. But that is what it means to be a pastor.
Right.
And I'm telling you, a lot of pastors are probably shaking their heads saying, oh, you can't say. Yeah, you can say that.
That's what Paul's saying here.
I'm telling you, we had one of our dear members die recently. And on her deathbed, and when she's still conscious and can still understand what's going on, I kept telling her, I said, Jeannie, the Lord Jesus has sent me to tell you that he died for you and rose for you and salvation is yours. And when you wake up, you're going to be in heaven. And I'm telling you, she just received that so joyfully. It's the pastors that seem to have a problem with this authoritative and categorical preaching and pastoral care. I would venture to guess, I hope I'm wrong here, Scott, but I would venture to guess that the professors who teach preaching would probably demur on that one and say, oh, you can't be that categorical. I hope I'm wrong there.
I always find it interesting how death tends to give us ears to hear as well. We may fight against such categorical preaching when we think life is good, but you know, the rubber hits the road. The gospel is sorely needed when death is near.
Let me give you an example of what an ambassador for Christ does, and this is what Paul does all throughout the New Testament. This is what all the apostles do. This is what all faithful apostolic preachers do in the apostolic ministry. They are like Isaiah the prophet, who is sent by the Lord. And you remember, Isaiah was sent, and Jeremiah was sent, and they were given this word to speak. Hear, O deaf. See, O blind. That's categorical. And it's so audacious and authoritative. Because, see, when the ambassador is preaching the word of God, Christ's words, his words are the same words that said in the beginning, let there be light, when there wasn't any, and there was light.
And one of the temptations, I think, for preachers today, when they demur at such language, is to make a separation. Oh, that's the way it was back then. As if God is no longer making his appeal through us today. As if that same preaching and that same Savior is not necessary today.
Yeah.
Look at that in verse 20 there, Brent. What do you make of that? So, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us.
In other words, God is actually speaking to you in the preached word.
And what is his appeal, though?
Ah, to be reconciled to God, as it says in the end of verse 20.
And why would he have to make such an appeal?
Because sinners, the old Adam, doesn't want to be reconciled to God.
Because it is a simile. Because we are not transformed. We are not perfected. We struggle daily with our sin and with our enemies.
See, and I think...
And we are deceived, and we are led astray, and we must hear the truth. And so he continues to speak his truth. He makes his appeal into the darkness of this world through his appointed ones. Through his sent ones.
And part of that message of being reconciled to God is saying, you are a sinner. Now, I know for a fact that there are teachers of preaching who say you can't preach that anymore. In other words, when you go to church on Sunday morning and you preach to these people, you can't say that they've sinned or that they're sinners. Are you aware of that? Are you, Scott?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I meant for you to answer that question.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't rhetorical.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so
you can't talk that way.
Exactly. In other words, here's how it's justified. Here's how it's spun. Well, these people have lived all week, and they're all beaten down, and the last thing they need to do is come to church and be told that they're sinners. Oh, really? They've still got the old Adam hanging around their neck. They need to categorically be told the truth that you are a sinner so that they will have need for Jesus. And this is Paul, the whole point, saying to put your guns down. Quit denying the word, be reconciled to God, which is repent and believe.
It is needed. It is needed. And therefore, God continues to send ambassadors into the world, into the darkness of this world, so that his word might be spoken and there might be light, that light which focuses faith not upon self, but upon Christ alone and his redemption. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. Peace be with you, folks. We'll talk with you next week.